Hi, everybody. It's lovely to be back. Welcome to the Politics and Pedagogy podcast. Today, we've got a very exciting episode because we are launching the Aspire Network. The Aspire Network is the Academic Scholarship in Politics and International Relations Education Network, and it is dedicated to supporting academics on the teaching intensive career paths within politics and international relations.
Thanks for having us. Yes, and
it's lovely to be back. Welcome to the Politics and Pedagogy podcast. Today, we've got a very exciting episode because we are launching the Aspire Network. The Aspire Network is the Academic Scholarship in Politics and International Relations Education Network, and it is dedicated to supporting academics on the teaching intensive career paths within politics and international relations. And today we've got four of our founding members who we're going to speak to about everything to do with Aspire and SOTL more broadly. At the core, our aim at Aspire is a mission to advocate for the recognition and advancement of scholars, focusing on teaching, pedagogy, research, and scholarship within our field as well. So we're really hoping that in creating this network, we're creating a community, but we're also going to try and influence universities and policymakers to enhance these career paths as we are a growing community as well. We believe that teaching and scholarship tracks are a vital contribution to educational excellence and high quality department teaching programs and the wider academy as a whole. And we really want to empower our members to navigate these careers more effectively and also to pursue high quality scholarship in politics and international relations. So we're really excited to do our launch today and have these conversations. So the Aspire Network is part of a broader network across the UK universities at Leeds, King's, York, and Bradford University and LSE. And today we are joined by four of our members. We also have Dr. Louise Pears at Leeds, Dr. Anna Plunkett at King's College London, Dr. Chris Featherstone at York, and our guests today, Dr. Hilary Briffer, who is a senior lecturer in National Security Studies Education and the Assistant Director of the Centre of Defence Studies at King's College London. She is passionate about the educational innovation and equality and is a fellow of the Higher Education Academy and serves on the King's Council and Academic Board and wildly is reading part-time for a second PhD in Higher Education Research Evaluation Enhancement with Lancaster University. We are also joined by Dr. Jeremy Moulton, who is a senior lecturer in the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of York and is a senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy. He has published peer-reviewed SOTL work on a number of themes, including assessment, active learning, and employability in the Journal of Political Science, PS, Political Science and Politics, and the Political Science Educator. Jeremy is also a regular columnist at the Active Learning in Politics Science blog, which is a really great blog that we will link to in our show notes. We also have Dr. Gillian Terry, who is Associate Professor at LSE, the London School of Economics, and the co-director of the school's flagship interdisciplinary course taken by all undergraduate students. Gillian is also a senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy and writes regularly about interdisciplinary teaching and learning and teaching-focused career paths. And last but not least, we have Dr. Sadia Selvaraj, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Peace Studies and International Development at the University of Bradford. He is currently researching and writing about creative practices, especially theatre and photography, and can be used in teaching politics. And I am, as you know, Madeline Laborden at the University of Leeds. So as you've heard, we have really talented and passionate educators with us today as part of the Aspire team. And we're going to just throw some questions out to hear a bit more about Aspire and think about teaching intensive careers and thinking about SOTL work as well. So my first question is going to be to Hilary to hear about what the origins of Aspire were, because there's three of us on the call that were there in that first ever seedling of it.
Thanks so much, Madeline, and thanks for having us all onto this podcast. Personally, I'm not a really big podcast person, but I always enjoy your episodes. So it's a real testament to the series that you've put together. So to your question, I'm on what we call the academic education pathway at King's. So that's our version of a teaching focused role where the emphasis is really on educational innovation, student experience, pedagogy, as well as the more traditional research. And personally, I absolutely love teaching. And I think that's something that really unites the group of us here on this call. Like when I first chose to study politics and IR, it's because I thought I was going to become Obama or Ban Ki-moon. Like I really wanted to be in a position to make a difference in the life of others. And the longer I'm in education, the more I've come to realize that changing one life and one life and one life is really making that difference. But although I think that teaching is the most direct way that we can shape how students engage with politics, I mean, let's be honest, I think it's still often undervalued in the profession. And so things like recognition and career progression, even just understanding what the role involves, is still very inconsistent across the sector. So back in 2022, I went to a pedagogy panel at the ISA, the International Studies Association Annual Convention in Montreal. And that's where I was listening to a panel that featured Gillian and Madeline, who were speaking. Bearing in mind the irony of going all the way to the US to listen to speakers from right across the road and just a bit further north in the UK. But I was so inspired by that panel because both were not only brilliant speakers, but we also realized that we were all on the teaching track roles, myself at King's and the other two at LSE and Leeds. And we instantly bonded over this mix of joys and frustrations that we shared. And now for anyone who's listening to the podcast who might have been to ISA, they know that it's very American in its framing and its assumptions. Their institutional systems are different. And we just found ourselves asking, where's the space for those of us working on scholarship and politics and IR in a UK context? And so we decided to keep in touch. We turned this very chatty panel into a WhatsApp group to stay in contact. And we spent the next few months kind of sharing ideas and experiences. But we thought it would be good to get back together in person. So in July 2023, my wonderful colleague from King's, Anna, and I applied for some funding to host a workshop at King's. And this kind of brought the seeds of the network to life because we had this whole day of panels and training sessions and reflections that covered everything from active learning to inclusive pedagogy and module design and accessibility. And it was a really diverse group. I think we had colleagues from at least 9 universities across the UK taking part, from Portsmouth to Aberystwyth. And everyone wanted to share these innovative approaches to teaching politics and IR. And so the energy in the room was just fantastic and really solidified this sense that there's a need and an appetite for something more structured. And so we thought the next step is to formalize the network. So then just last summer in July 2024, we headed to West Yorkshire and 7 of us met in Leeds for our first in-person planning meeting as the founding board. Again, it was a really productive and energizing day. So we talked about expectations. We mapped out goals for the short, medium and long term, even up to 10 years ahead, hoping that this dream will continue a long time. And we divvied up tasks so that we could get things off the ground. And one of the main things we focused on was our mission, because we want to make sure that Aspire won't just be a space for sharing teaching tips, which is important, but already exists in many places, but something that goes further. So we really want to support the scholarly development and career aspirations of teaching track academics in politics and IR, which is a gap I think we all feel in our own institutions at the moment. And so the very last thing I'd say is what made the day so memorable was just how collaborative it was. I mean, everyone in the room is passionate about teaching and also really fun to work with. And I think it's really important to be having a space where we're working with purpose, but also bringing joy to thinking about our teaching practice. And most importantly, that day, we came up with the name. So ASPIRE stands for Academic Scholarship in Politics and International Relations. relations education, and what was born there in Leeds is going to be officially launched at King's on Monday 9th June with our big public launch event. So we're now looking forward to welcoming many more Teaching Czech academics to the network to continue building our community of practice and collaborating.
Thank you so much, Hilary, and good plugging there of the event as well. It's quite lovely to hear back and reflect on how far we've come already as a network and how far we're going to go as well. I think you picked up on something really important there, which was that Teaching Track colleagues, from my experience, have been so collaborative, and there's a lack of competition that we can see often in a quite toxic way in the broader academy as well. And yet, historically, there has been this particular negative view of teaching track careers. And I wonder, Gillian, what your thoughts are on this. Why do you think that is? And how can we as a network challenge this?
Thanks, Madeline. Yeah, it's really great to be here with you all to talk about the network and to think a little bit about this together. I think for me, one of the main reasons for wanting to start Aspire with you all was to combat some of those negative perceptions and attitudes that we have all come up against, whether in our own institutions or even in those sort of conference spaces like at ISA, for instance, or other disciplinary conferences where that sort of competition often lies. And I think really some of the challenges around teaching focused careers we can sort of map them out in a couple of different areas. So I think one of the big ones that comes out in the literature is around these ideas of lower status and prestige, and this question of having lower prestige compared to research-driven roles in the academy, particularly seeing teaching-focused career pathways as second tier or failed researchers. And that reinforces some of those hierarchies that we are trying to fight against in the academy. I think connected to that, there's issues around limited career progression and recognition. So Hilary mentioned this in her comments as well, thinking about what are the opportunities for us as teaching focused academics to get promoted, for instance, or to be rewarded and recognized for our work. A lot of these issues can leave teaching focused academics feeling quite undervalued by their institutions. And I think one of the things that we're trying to do with Aspire is to actually push back against that and to particularly give support, guidance, development opportunities around things like putting together a promotion case, for instance. It's something that a lot of us have been through and have relied on that support and that collaboration to do. I think there's also issues that we definitely can see pinpointed in literature around workload inequities and role ambiguity. What are the expectations of teaching-focused careers? Do those careers give space for things like SOTL work, Scholarship on Teaching and Learning? Is that built into these career pathways or is it not? What are the expectations from institutions? And as Hilary pointed out, even though these pathways have been around, well, in the UK for, in many cases, over a decade now, they're not entirely new pathways anymore, but there is still so much ambiguity and so much, I think, a lack of consensus about what those expectations are, even from colleagues within the same institution. So I think the scholarship tells us that there's quite a lot of challenge to these kinds of pathways. But I think what we want to do with Aspire is to really connect to what is great about being on teaching-focused career pathways in politics and IR, right? And I'm going to steal the Kathy Elliott's line of the joy of the teaching track that comes out, a recent publication, actually, Madeline, that you are part of, colleagues from across the UK, along with Kathy, wrote a fantastic article that hopefully we can also link in our show notes about the joys of the teaching track and what it actually means to value the community of teaching focused academics, to value the collaboration and the potential for collaboration around teaching and education innovation, and to really think about the pride that we feel for the work that we do in our respective institutions. And so I think one of the things we're hoping to do with Aspire is to really support that, sort of scaffold up opportunities to A, meet other people at other institutions who are doing similar work to you on teaching-focused career pathways, and B, to really have a space for that collaboration to take place. So not just to say, oh, hey, I know other people on these pathways, but to actually think, well, what can we work on together? That includes, I think, you know, one area of that would be SOTL work and bringing together colleagues to work on scholarship of teaching and learning projects that could maybe eventually lead to publications and conferences and all of those things. Making those connections easier through Aspire, I think, is one big way that we can start to push back against some of those challenges or negative perceptions of these tracks that we have seen.
Thank you so much, Gillian. That was so brilliant. And the kind of revolution, the joy revolution is what I'm thinking of calling it now, inspired by Kathy. And actually, Professor Kathy Elliott will be one of our keynote speakers at our launch as well. Jeremy, did you want to reflect on something here?
Gillian, how much I agree with everything you're saying there. It just made me think about the British Academy earlier this year published a review of teaching in politics and international relations in the UK. And it showed in that report there's been a mammoth growth in the teaching track across the UK, that more than one in five academics employed in the UK are now on the teaching track. But that's still, while that is a massive growth, that still means that within individual departments, it's a small total percentage, right? And so that kind of feeds into some assumptions that people might have about the benefits of the track, and there might not be kind of good models of what good practice is within individual institutions. But I think really underlines why we hope Aspire is a very timely network as well, because there's something that's really developing. And yeah, to reference Kathy Elliott's Monopoly on Joy, that really it is the right time to actually really connect with other people that are working on this and realize there is an amazing level of work that's going on out there. There's a lot of scholars that are on the teaching track, and to actually just get together and share, I think, is a really important time to do it. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you so much. So I think it's such an important point that we find solidarity between ourselves and talking about how we have pushed to ensure that we have equity in our jobs or have more room to do scholarship, etc. As I know, that's something that just as the eight of us who are the founding members of Aspire have found with each other as well, which is so invaluable. And I think this is particularly important when we think about SOTL. How does that link to the work that we do? How do we create space within our workloads for it? And a way in which we can advocate for that is by producing really brilliant SOTL work. And Jeremy, I know that you've done a lot of work on this and written really widely. Where do you go for reading and publishing on SOTL work, and what has inspired you? I know Kathy's work on joy has definitely been part of that, but I guess more broadly, where do you go and where do you publish?
Such a good question. I'm really, really happy to be talking about SOTL, but let me first say, just to really echo what Hilary and Gillian have said, it's really nice to be on the podcast. I'm a long time listener, first time caller, so it's great to be here. SOTL. Well, the key thing to note is there has been a big growth in the teaching track, there is a mammoth growth in the level of scholarship of teaching and learning that relates to politics and international relations over the last 10 years. If you ever look at a graph of it, it is a really, really steep increase. And I think that's really exciting. I think it's very clear, looking at the state of the world, that it's never been really more important to have good political education going on, and also for the public to have trust in the education that we're doing. And a key part of that is for us to really take time to reflect and evaluate what our subject is and how it should be taught, different ways it might be taught. But where to go for reading and publishing? Well, it slightly depends on what you're after, right? I'm someone, I really like the journal articles and the journals of SOTL. Politics has one journal that exclusively publishes politics SOTL work, and that's the Journal of Political Science Education. It's a APSA journal. They do some really, really good publications, lots of empirical experience-based work, and it's a really good place to go to if you're interested in that. Then there are a few other journals that publish some scholarship of teaching and learning work. So might publish more comparative pieces or statements on the profession in general. So Politics, which is a PSA journal, I should note that one. Then one that I really like is PS, Political Science and Politics, another APSA journal. I will admit I like it because they only host shorter form pieces, and I often think that we can make our work just slightly more digestible. So I really recommend that one. Then International Studies Perspectives and European political science as well to really other good places to go. So they're really useful places if you want to get into publishing and reading other peer-reviewed work. But then there's a whole host of other places to go to. So people producing work in political studies don't always have to exclusively publish in political studies journals, right? And we see this quite a lot, that our field gives us some real expertise that's useful in other higher education contexts, whether it's a general understanding of assessment or a general understanding of the power relations that are going on within higher education. There's a lot of work out there on that. But then there's also, Hilary mentioned earlier, kind of teaching tips and things like this, the kind of practical guidance that's really good to engage with. And I should really plug ALPS here, the Active Learning and Political Science blog. It's really worth a look. You can go on. The pieces are generally 800 to 1,000 words, so really quick reads. There's generally one or two new pieces a week, and it really is an international blog, so you get to see differences in practice around the world as well, which is really, really lovely to see. APSA also has its political science educator newsletter that goes out twice a year, slightly longer, around 1,500 words. A good chance, again, to see what's going on. And then, of course, there are podcasts like this one right here. UCL has its Uncovering Politics podcast, which is another really good place to look at. So there's quite a few places out there, but there's still a lot of work to be done. So I would really recommend people engage with that. And one of the really good ways to get engaged with it, you asked what subtle work inspires you. The good way to get engaged is to start reading, right? It's certainly how I got into it. At the University of York, we have a Sottle Journal Club where scholars from across the university come together to read scholarship. It's something that we want to be doing in Aspire, to have this Aspire Sottle Circle, which Sadia is, I think, going to talk about more in a bit. But yeah, to get reading. The work that inspires me, I was on a roundtable at the PSA in Birmingham a bit ago, and we were talking about this. It's work that leaves you with that yes and, whether it's yes and I want to do this myself in my practice in the classroom, yes and, well, I want to research this thing that I think there's the gap, or just yes and I want to go down the corridor and tell my colleagues about this. And there's all like different types of work that does this. It, you know, sometimes it is that experience work. I tried this, I'm not 100% sure how it went, or it went really well, it went really badly. And then you think, my context slightly different. Let me give that a go and see how it goes. Or there's some fantastic essays that are published as well that I think are really good for developing our thinking on things. So I think it is a tremendously exciting time for Sottle in politics. There's some really good work going. For anyone listening, I'd recommend reading and starting to write yourself.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. I know that listeners would have found so much from that, and you continue to be a source of knowledge on all things Sottle. So I wish to now turn to thinking about Aspire and what our next steps are, because I'm sure the listeners really want to know. And so, Sadia, I wondered if you'd tell the listeners what we have coming up for Aspire, because there's lots of exciting things that are coming very soon.
Absolutely. So thanks, Madeline, for having me on and for having us and giving us the space to talk about the awesome work we get to do. Before I tell you all what we plan to do, just picking up on what Jeremy said about the yes and, right? That is a tool that we use so much in improvisational theater. And it's such a magical tool to say, cool, we're going to build off of something and build it into something collectively and add momentum and make it bigger and bigger. And that's really what we're really hoping to do with the Aspire Network, right? I've got a chance to be constantly pushed, encouraged, and inspired by the people on this call to develop my own teaching and to think more critically about how I teach and to work for the betterment of my students. And that's really what we aim to do with Aspire, is to create a space for other teaching track colleagues, particularly in politics and international relations, to develop a network, develop a community, and a space where we can learn and develop our own craft, but also learn and progress in our careers in ways that are equitable, but also complementary to our particular gifts and skills. So we have two big events coming up. The first one is in early June, and that is going to be our big launch event in King's College London. It is a space, again, for all of you to come together, all our members, and Kathy Elliott, who was mentioned earlier, will be our keynote speaker, talking about the joy of teaching. And that is exactly what we will be reflecting on throughout the day. We also have a space later on for those who can't make it down to London to meet online, and we will be having a subsequent launch and welcome event in August. Activity is to go beyond these events and really hope that this is a continuous space and a continuous community. To do this, we have our website, which is Aspire Network.uk, aspirenetwork.uk. And on this website, we have a whole bunch of wonderful resources. When you become a member, we list you as a member so that others can show your commitment towards SOTL. And also, it becomes a space for SOTL-specific journals to find reviewers, which you wouldn't think is as big an issue, but trust me, it is. So this space really is as an advertisement of our work and your work, and lets other people know of your interest in SOTL work. We also have a whole bunch of resources available to you, and these include some of those wonderful articles that Jeremy had mentioned, and many of which he and others on our group have written as well. So that is a wonderful place for useful resources. And we also hope to develop a SOTL circle, a space where we all get a chance to engage in most recent scholarship, as Jeremy hinted at earlier. And we'll constantly hope to use this space as a continuous effort to build that momentum and really try to be a positive influence on ourselves, but also the communities that we serve.
Thank you so much, Sadia. So to reiterate, our first network launch will be on Monday, the 9th of June at King's College London. And you can sign up via our website. We will have two keynote speakers, Kathy Elliott and John Craig, talking about the joys of teaching track, which is going to be so brilliant. They're very inspiring. And there will be activities and networking, and you will also hear from us all, the board members. And then there is also an online event, which is an additional event on Tuesday, the 9th of September. Again, you can sign up via our website. This will all be in the show notes. And do come along to both. We really hope that you are able to join us and to join the network more broadly. And we would love to hear from you. We have an email address. I will also put that in the show notes. If you have any ideas, want to get involved in more ways, then please do. That'd be really wonderful. And everyone, thank you so much for joining us. The board members taking time out of their day today to speak to me and to talk about the exciting launch of the Aspire Network. So thank you, everyone.
Thanks so much.
That's Madeline.